I definitely learned a long time ago, you can't be like someone else. You have to be like yourself. That's just the way it is. So as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, what part of my story should I tell? Because it'd be impossible to get up here and tell everything. So I just thought I would tell you about my walk with Christ. When I was young, very young, I didn't really know anything about God or Jesus. We weren't Christians. We didn't really attend church regularly. Once in a while, we'd go to Sunday school, Bible school. My mom went as a child, and my gram took her faithfully to church, and my gram went faithfully. But I'd go with her once in a while if I was at her house. We'd go to her church, but I didn't really know anything about Jesus or anything, and we just kind of realized that maybe God created the world, and that was about it. And so we lived at the end of Marsh Creek there, and our good neighbor Lois Bowes got to know us pretty well. She was working at Head Start, teaching at Head Start, I believe, and she came and got my little brother, I think. Did Rick go to Head Start? And we got to know them really well, and of course we went to school with those kids, and Dora and Kathy became really good friends of my sister and I, and Rod came and hung out with Rick, so we were like together a lot. They did their grocery shopping together a lot. We would take my dad to work, pick up his check and go spend it, and go back and pick him up on a Friday night down Lock Haven. It was pretty crowded, and that's kind of what we did. So when I was around 12, Dora and Kathy invited Sherry and I to go to Roxbury Camp. And I had never been to Roxbury Camp, but I was going. And it was just something. I just went anywhere anybody invited me. I was just one of them type of kids, you know, that would, hey, yeah, if I can go, go. And Dora said, there's a couple things you need to know, though. You have to go to church 3 times a day, and you have to wear a dress every day. Well, I wasn't a dress person. Dora knew that. That's why she told me that. But I was going anyway, so packed my dresses and off we went. So we went to Roxbury, and after I'd gone to Roxbury, I had asked about Sunday school, and after that, Lois would stop and pick us up and bring us to Sunday school. And I was at Roxbury a couple years, and one night, I was 14, and I remember we had to go to services, and we had to go into the sanctuary. We could not sit outside. So that was Lois's rule. And I'm serious. And I hope I didn't give her any trouble. I don't think she would have took me back. But we sat in the back. We were allowed to sit in the back. We didn't have to sit up front with all them. And in those days at Roxbury, then every preacher that was there was up front across the stage looking down at them people. And boy, you didn't want to get caught doing anything wrong in that tabernacle with them preachers looking at you. But we sat in clear in the back as far as we could get. You know, we'd sit back there. Well, another thing about that tabernacle that I had never seen before, people 80, 90 years old could jump them pews, let me tell you. They would get blessed, and let me tell you, they could scream and holler, and oh, it was a little. Dora told me, don't worry, they're just getting blessed. They're just getting blessed. And so we didn't really get excited about that. But anyway, I was 14, and we were sitting in the back one night, and we all stayed in the same room in the dorm. So it was like immediately when they said amen, we were out the door, up to the dorm, ditched our Bibles, and down to the snack bar. That was our routine. So here I am sitting in this back pew, And they're given the invitation, and it took a long. It's not Roxbury's a little different now. I mean, they kind of finish, you know, a certain time. Back then, it was like their invitations were like if they knew somebody was in that crowd that needed saving, they weren't giving up, and they just kept praying and preaching. And that night, I remember Charlie Byers was preaching on heaven and hell, and I'm telling you, he preached hell so hard. I knew this was what was happening to me. I was sitting there frozen in my seat, knowing, and I was starting to sweat because I knew if I left that tabernacle and walked up that path, that tree in front of that nursery was going to fall down and kill me, and I was going to hell. That was my vision, I'm telling you. And I was like, I can't walk up that aisle. Look at all them preachers up there, and that's a big aisle. I mean, if you've ever been to Tabernacle at Roxbury, it's a long way up there. And I'm like, oh, Lord. Oh, man, am I going to die tonight? I'm going to go to hell, and I really didn't want to go to hell. And but Charlie Byers was preaching it so strong, and I was just like, oh, man, oh, man. So anyway, I left that tabernacle that night, and I ran past that nursery. And we got to the dorm, and I just could not go any further. And I said to my friends, I don't know if they remember, I said, I want to get saved, but I'm really scared. And Dora says, I'm going for my mom. And Denise says, Denise Strauss is there, I'm going for my dad. And they laughed and left me there. But they brought back some help. And so I prayed that night, and I accepted Jesus in my heart. And I grew up, and I went to Roxbury every year. And then after that, after I left home and got out in the world on my own, I kind of left God where he was at Roxbury, you know, and kind of did my thing. I always remember God, you know. I didn't just say, well, God doesn't exist or anything, but I didn't really serve him the way I should have. And look to him for answers. And I was in New Jersey, and in 82, my daughter was born, and I knew I should be taking her to Sunday school. So I went to a church there in New Jersey, there outside the base there for a while, and then I got orders to Southern California. And I promised God, I said, oh, I was so looking forward to going to California. I said, God, if I get to California, I'm going to serve you. I know this is you doing this because I just know that that's what I'm supposed to be doing. So as soon as I got to California, I started looking for a church. And I don't know if you've ever been to Mojave Desert, but there's not much there. There's a little town here and a little town here. And there's like 20 miles in between each town. There was 20 miles between the town and the base. I mean, nothing in between. So I was in this little town called California City. There's about 3,000 people there. And so I started driving around looking for a church. And I found a Baptist church, I found a community church, and I found a Catholic church. So we started going to the Baptist church. And by then I had a little boy, and we started going to that church. And it was just really awesome. And right after I started going there, it was 1989, and I remember right after I started attending there, they had a revival. And before the pastor came for the revival, they wanted to have volunteers come to the church the weekend before the revival started, and every hour on that weekend, there was to be somebody in the church at the altar praying for a revival. And pray for an hour, and then somebody else would come in, and you were supposed to sign up on the sheet. So I signed up on the sheet to come. I think it was 2 a.m. or something. I was going to go and pray. And so I went to pray, and when I got into the church, it was almost like God said, how are you going to pray for the revival when you need it worse than anybody else? So the first thing I did was get my life straight with God at that altar that night. And I was going through a lot of different things right then. And there was this little bookstore in our town. And I would go there once in a while, and I'd get these little cards that had like verses on them or different things, depending on how people were doing. And I would send them these little cards. And one little card, I was just looking at them one day. They were like 10 cents a piece. And I was looking to see what cards I was going to get that day. And I was looking at this one little card, and I was in a turmoil of my own self. And I looked at this little card, and it said, you never have to worry. And I remember I laughed right out loud. Ah, yeah, right, that's good. But I bought the card. So I went home, and I had a scripture verse on it. It didn't have the verse written. It just had the reference. And it said Philippians 4:6. So I went home, and I looked up that verse. And do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And I got on my knees and I gave my request to God. And it was almost like he picked me up and shook me like, you idiot, What are you waiting so long for? And he just shook me. And I'm serious, I could feel it. And I just felt all those burdens, all the pressure just leaving. I just can't describe it. But don't tell me it didn't happen, because I know it did. I could just feel all that pressure just leaving. So since then, I've just seen miracles from God. I've seen so many things happen from there. I went to South Carolina, and I remember leaving California, and it was such a good church. And I said, Pastor Curtis, I want to go to South Carolina, but I'm so nervous. I don't know how I will find a church. And he said, Bonnie, just go. Make sure they preach the truth. Make sure they preach the truth. Just look for the truth. And we did visit several churches when I got there, and but we found one near our home, and it was a good church. And I remember the last year I was there, just a little miracle that God did for me. I remember I came home to visit for like 3 weeks in July that year, 19. It was the year before, 2 years before I left. And my grandmother was living in Ridgecrest, and she had just sold her farmhouse and was living in Ridgecrest. And I remember visiting with her. And when I went back home, it was September, she passed away. And she only lived in her trailer like 4 months or something. It was my mom's mother. And I felt so bad. And there was a lot of problems in my mom's family at that time. And I remember when Graham died, my mom telling me, I don't know, I'm going to have to take care of things right now because there's some issues going on. And I thought, you know, my mom doesn't even have time to grieve for her mother at this point because she has to do all this other stuff. And I remember at that time, we didn't have cell phones or anything like that. So I would call home once a week, or my mom would call me the next week. So it would split up the bill. And when you're in the military, no matter how much overtime you work, you get the same pay. Okay, it's just straight pay. So I knew how much money I was going to get no matter what. So I knew I couldn't have a real high phone bill, but I just felt that I needed to call my mom more often than what I had been. And so I prayed about that, and I said, God, and he almost said to me, I could almost hear him saying, you call your mom as often as you need to. You call her. And so I did. Well, the bill came. And I didn't even open it. I never paid my bills till I had them all. And I just stuck it up in the little thing and said, God, that's your bill right there. And so my other bills came, and I stuck them up there. And at the end of the month, I sat down and was opening up the bills, and the phone bill was pretty high. But I prayed and wrote the check out, and I was opening up my other bills. Got to my electric bill. It was like less than half of what it usually was. I was just like, there's my answer right there. There's my money for my phone bill. And I never had to pay. I mean, I don't know how that happened, but it happened. And that's just how God takes care of us if we obey him and look for him for answers. That's all I can say. Look to him for answers. Thank you.
Thank you, Bonnie.